The second lesson, which is also the text for the sermon, is from St. Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in accordance with the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my child, whom I love. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clean conscience, as my ancestors did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day. When I remember your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I remember your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am convinced that it also lives in you. For this reason, I am reminding you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a timid spirit, but a spirit of power and love and sound judgment. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Instead, join with me in suffering for the gospel while relying on the power of God. He saved us and called us with a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, and it has now been revealed through the appearance of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel, I was appointed a herald, apostle, and teacher of the Gentiles, and that is why I am suffering these things, but I am not ashamed, because I know the one in whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Hold fast to the pattern of sound words that you heard from me, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Through the Holy Spirit who lives in us, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you, the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. There is a way that St. Timothy is the poster boy for this season of Epiphany, because one of the truths that we see and celebrate in the season of Epiphany is that our Savior Jesus did not just come for his own people, for the people of Israel, but he came for all people of all nations, Gentiles like you and me included. You see, St. Timothy actually was Jewish and Gentile at the same time. He had a Jewish mother, a Gentile father. So St. Timothy kind of personifies, he's sort of living proof of this Epiphany truth that Jesus brings Jews and Gentiles together, and in Christ, race does not matter. And in that way, Timothy fits Epiphany like a hand in a glove. There is another way, though, that St. Timothy maybe doesn't fit this season quite so swimmingly, because another big thing that we see in Epiphany is power. In the season of Epiphany, we watch Jesus prove with powerful miracles that he is the Messiah and the Son of God. When Jesus came into the world, he came humbly, he laid aside his power and glory, but there were still times during his ministry where he let it flash through to prove that he was who he said he was, the Son of God, the Messiah. So Epiphany is also power. And that's where Timothy maybe doesn't fit Epiphany quite so well, because apparently power was not one of Timothy's outstanding characteristics. St. Timothy was a student, the protege of St. Paul. Timothy was a young pastor. Those two men were so close to each other. You heard St. Paul say before, "Timothy, you are my child whom I love." That's how close they were. And the kind of power that Timothy was struggling with, it wasn't so much, you know, the Mr. Universe kind of power of I can lift more weights than you can. And it's not even like the power of influence, you know, a boss's ability to fire and hire, promote and demote. What becomes clear from some of the things that St. Paul writes to Timothy is that the power this young pastor was struggling with was boldness in speaking the truth of God. That becomes pretty clear when you hear some of the things that his mentor, Paul, wrote to him. God did not give us a timid spirit. Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. It'd be kind of hard to understand why St. Paul would write those kinds of things to his protege if Timothy were not struggling with bravery, with courage, in proclaiming the word of God, the testimony about our Lord. Now, would you agree that of all the problems for a pastor to have, all the possible problems that a pastor could be facing, this is a pretty serious one, right? Because it's a pastor's job. It's his full-time work. His calling to proclaim the word of God publicly to people in a congregation. And if a pastor is kind of chicken, right, if he doesn't really have the guts to get up and preach and teach about the Lord, he's going to have an awfully hard time functioning as a pastor. Well, everything that St. Paul writes to Timothy at the opening of this letter is designed to help him to overcome this issue. But before we get to that, a lack of boldness, a lack of bravery in proclaiming the testimony of the Lord, this is not just a serious problem for a pastor to have. Because although you do not have a call to proclaim God's word publicly, to preach it and teach it in a congregation, God definitely does call every single one of his followers to be faithful to his testimony and to speak it boldly. And in order to carry out that calling, you have to have two things. First, you have to know what God's word says. And secondly, you have to have the courage to speak up with it when the opportunities arise. This is something that God calls every Christian to do. And it's safe to say that all Christians struggle with it at least occasionally. And I think a big majority of Christians struggle with this, proclaiming God's word boldly much of the time. Now, when we say we want to proclaim God's word with courage and boldness, this does not mean being pushy or aggressive or threatening with other people, but it does mean speaking up and speaking accurately, not being a chicken. You know, when those opportunities do come up to tell people about the Lord, what his word says, you speak up, you speak accurately, and you speak clearly. This is what God calls all Christians to do. And the reason I say this is a major struggle for a lot of Christians is we know how difficult this can be to speak God's word with bravery. Because we know, for example, that the rules of conventional etiquette, right, the accepted rules of politeness in our culture say you don't talk about what you believe ever in polite conversation. You just strike that off the list. Religion and politics, never, right? So that takes it out. You also know that if you do speak up about the testimony of the Lord, some people are going to get uncomfortable, and some people might even get angry. And we also know from God's own word, God tells us this in the word, that very often the testimony we speak is going to be met with rejection. And who wants to risk that, right? Who wants to risk watching their belief in Jesus gets swatted down by somebody? All of those things contribute to a rise in fear and a drop in boldness in proclaiming the testimony about the Lord. Now, I don't know how many of those things were affecting St. Timothy, but I do know the strategy that St. Paul is using in these verses to help St. Timothy overcome this. And I am also confident that the things Paul writes to Timothy are also going to help us as we strive to proclaim God's word with boldness. Now, as we take a close look at the kinds of things that Paul writes to this young pastor, see if you can identify a pattern that is emerging here in the kinds of things that Paul is writing. Right off the bat, Paul reminds Timothy of how God worked with power to bring the members of Timothy's family, his grandmother Lois, his mother Eunice, and finally Timothy himself, to faith in Jesus. Bringing someone to faith in Christ is not light and breezy work. In fact, it is so hard to bring somebody to faith in Jesus that only God himself can do it. Later, Paul writes, God saved us, and God called us with a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace. God saves people by calling them to faith in Jesus and making them holy in his eyes. And only God is strong enough to do this. No amount of human work or energy can ever get it done. Once, when he was asked what he had contributed to his Christian faith, Martin Luther answered, resistance and sabotage. And that was true. He wasn't being modest. That is biblically true, not only of him, but of every other human being too. Only God has the power to bring a heart to faith in Jesus, because by nature, our hearts are not inclined to believe the message of forgiveness in God's Son. In fact, by nature, our hearts resent and attack the idea of needing God's grace, needing God's forgiveness in his Son. So when the Holy Spirit brings somebody to faith in Jesus, it's not like he's starting with a blank slate or a formless lump of clay. He's starting with trash, hostile trash, and making it holy by bringing it to faith in Christ. And right off the bat, Paul reminds Timothy of how the Holy Spirit worked with power for his grandmother, for his mother, and then for Timothy himself, bringing them to faith. And of course, the reason that the Holy Spirit's powerful work of bringing us to faith, the reason that saves us, is that faith receives the powerful saving work of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Paul now reminds Timothy of how God planned our salvation before time began, and that salvation has now been achieved by his Son, Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. See, it took the power of God's own Son to stare down death and take it on. Death is the most frightening thing about life. And with the power of the Son of God, Jesus took on death, battled it, and conquered it for us. He defeated death for us. So, the Holy Spirit worked with power to bring Timothy and his family to faith in Christ, and his faith in the powerful, death-destroying, immortality-bringing work of Jesus Christ. And from there, throughout these verses, Paul is constantly reminding Timothy of all the other places where God had worked with power in the life of this young man. For example, at the very beginning of his ministry, when Paul ordained Timothy, laid his hands on him, Timothy received a special gift from the Holy Spirit. And Paul now says to use the power of the Spirit to fan it into flame. And it's not just the past. Paul talks about the future. In the future, the Holy Spirit is going to give you the strength that you need to remain faithful in your work till the end. He says, through the Holy Spirit who lives in us, guard the good deposit. That is the truth of God's word that was entrusted to you. So, in the past, the Holy Spirit empowered Timothy to do his work as a pastor, and he was going to give Timothy the strength to carry through with that work all the way to the end. So, what is Paul saying to young Timothy here? Look at your life, and look at how God has been working all over the place with you with power throughout your life. God has overcome your heart and brought you to faith in Christ. He has conquered death for you, and he has given you the gifts that you need to carry out your ministry. Now, this is a fully powerful God that St. Timothy trusts in. And this is the same fully powerful God that you and I trust in too. You also needed the strength of God's Son to battle and conquer death for you, and he did. You also needed the power of the Holy Spirit to turn your heart to faith in Christ, and he did. And just as God had worked all over the life of St. Timothy with power, he has been working powerfully for you all through your life too. Obviously, you know the details of your life better than I do, but I'm sure there are a lot of places where you can look around and see how God has worked for you. And just in a general kind of way, couldn't we look at everything from the roofs over our head to the food spread out on our table as God's power working for us? Because in the end, where do all of those blessings come from? It's all his work all the time. God works powerfully for his people. This is God's spirit. It is his nature to flex his muscles for the good of his people. And God gives that spirit of power to his people. God did not give us a timid spirit, but a spirit of power and love and sound judgment. See, when I am lacking the bravery, the courage to speak the testimony of the Lord, that is not an attitude that comes from above. That is not a godly attitude, because God gives a spirit of power to the people that he works for with power. So finally, St. Paul tells Timothy, don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid of the gospel, the testimony of the Lord. Draw your power to speak it from the God who works so powerfully for you. Don't be ashamed. Don't back down. But speak up and speak boldly, even if it means taking an insult. Even if it means taking a punch, be willing to suffer for that message. Even if it means something worse than that, as it did for St. Paul, who was in prison when he wrote these words. Speaking up for that message, even if the very worst happens to you, and the worst was about to happen to St. Paul when he wrote this letter, he still says, I am not ashamed, because I know the one in whom I have believed. And I am convinced that he is able, there it is again, he has the power to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. We can be brave and strong in proclaiming God's truth, because he will keep us safe into his arms in his heavenly kingdom. Okay, now this is a day to honor and remember fondly St. Timothy. And I'm kind of afraid that up to this point, I've just made the man sound like kind of a lousy wimp, which he was not. He was not. God used St. Timothy in extraordinary ways in the early Christian church, and St. Timothy did very important work in getting the church off the ground in the first century after Christ's ascension. It's just that, like a lot of Jesus' people, St. Timothy had his struggles speaking boldly with the Word of God, but he received the power that he needed to do it from the God who had worked so powerfully for him. And in the end, God used Timothy to do extraordinary things in his kingdom. But God has always worked, he is still working, and he will always work with you, for you, with power. So draw your strength from him. Don't be ashamed of his testimony, but speak it boldly. Amen.